Computers, automated assembly lines, mega corporations, they all threaten the solitary craftsman. For woodworker John Link, the competition is particularly tough. His competitors, with names like Mattel and Lego, have already won the hearts of parents and children. Link makes his living making toys. He works alone in his basement shop. Recently, he told me he's consented to advertise his trains and doll beds on the web. But when it comes to his handiwork and his materials, he sticks with tradition.
All my toys are made from hardwoods. Most of them are from Wisconsin. I use a lot of black cherry, black walnut, hard maple, red oak. All good, strong woods that can take a beating. There's always the unfortunate flight down the basement stairs. maybe not always, but often enough that you want to plan for it. And hardwood is pretty durable, and it'll take that.
Trains are a part of the toys that you make, a pretty big part, I would guess.
Trains were one of my first toys, along with blocks, and they continue to be my best sellers because they're traditional toys that continue to be fun for kids. They have a lot of play value.
Well, tell me about some of the cars that you brought here. You brought an engine. That was logical. You can't carry a train set around without bringing the engine.
My engine's modeled after an old steam locomotive, and it carries something a little ironic. It carries the first car you see is an automobile carrier, which probably wasn't often pulled by a steam locomotive. The next car is a box car, which has a sliding door to get the cargo inside. Another car that probably is one of my more popular ones is the circus car with a gate on one end to hold a tiger or a lion. But I have 12 other cars too, everything from log cars to cabooses to tenders. And people tend to choose it over time. A lot of people will start with two or three cars, and as a child grows, the train grows.
The other thing that you've brought with you is the classic wooden toy, although with some variations that I've not seen before. That's your set of blocks. Tell me about this.
This is one of the two block wagons I make. This one is a pull toy. It has a string on the end with a ball on the end to pull around the house.
It's a wooden ball, we should add.
Sure. It's made of black cherry again, and it contains red oak blocks. These are unit blocks. Unit blocks were designed or discovered shortly after the First World War by a woman who taught nursery school. And the most outstanding feature is they're all proportionally shaped. Each block.
Is it okay if I pull a block out of here?
Oh, please play all you want. Each block is a multiple or a fraction of the next one, so two small blocks equals one big one.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it very easy for the child to stack them quite high and make shapes.
Most of the time you spend working on your toys is time you spend alone, isn't it?
It's a very solitary business. I work alone. I'm the janitor, the woodworker, the marketer, the postman. I do it all, which is kind of unusual these days. To do everything well is difficult. So there's always a couple balls in the air that never get quite pulled down. But it's been okay. I've been able to make a living these years. As I grow older, the boards get heavier. I see maybe an apprentice coming, but not yet.
When you finished a toy and you present it, especially with a new one, do you test them at all? Do you try them out? You used to on your own children. Do you try them out on others?
I do. In fact, around my house are a collection of early prototypes that didn't quite measure up. So I tried to make a wooden sled for years, and for three winters, the neighborhood children got free sleds because they were testing all my prototypes. And I was trying to make this elegant, delicate-looking wooden sled with lashings and a very, almost a filigree, or a very delicate-looking, kind of on the order of snowshoe furniture. But I also knew that toy, to meet my standard lifetime guarantee, had to survive a three- or four-kid sandwich when they jump in it all together. And unfortunately, I never could solve that problem in a way I could make it at a reasonable price. You can do a lot in wood if you have infinite time. And unfortunately, I have to watch the clock to make a living.
These toys are designed for kids.
Certainly.
But my guess is that in addition to appealing to the kids, they appeal to the kids' parents about as much. Is that right?
Jim, you'd be surprised at the people I meet who come up to me and say, my father or my grandfather made one of those for me or gave me one of those toys as a child, and I wish I still had it. It got away from our family at some point. And they look at my toys, a simple wooden train, a simple set of blocks, a simple doll bed, and I think, I remember that. And it probably isn't exactly what they had, but it suggests what they had. And the emotion in their voice and the memories come through very strongly. And boy, I hope my toys give those kind of memories.
And the kids, when they approach your toys, now these are kids in 1990s America who have a lot of the stuff they can see on television to play with. Do they take to these immediately?
Immediately. I know of no child that doesn't want to sit down and push a train or build something with blocks. Maybe when they're older and they discover computer games, you lose some of them, but not all of them. A lot of children will choose blocks or building far longer than you'd expect. My own son gave up his box when he went to high school, and I almost think it was peer pressure because he still loves to build. Now he does it in architecture class.
Each one of these toys must take you a lot of work to put together.
You can't rush it. There's no shortcuts in fine woodwork. You can automate your machines a bit. You can add a few more motors. But in the end, the quality comes from your hands. And I'm limited in my production and my income by how many I can make. And it's a finite number each year. And I get calls from catalogs. And now with my introduction to the World Wide Web, I get calls from overseas, people asking me to sell them toys. I got one today from Hong Kong. Last week it was from Brazil. They want my wholesale terms and how to ship the container to Brazil. And I laugh and I email them back saying, you don't understand the scale here. I'm not that big. I don't wholesale. I sell all the toys I make every year at retail.
You know, you have some things here that you could hire help and make more. Why don't you?
I don't want to be a manager. I want to be a woodworker. I could, a lot of the work in these toys is tedious. A lot of it's sanding and shaping. It could be done by someone less skilled. I could bring in five or six workers and increase my output quite a bit. Then I would have to spend more time marketing them, traveling, wholesaling. Pretty soon I wouldn't be doing the woodwork anymore. And that's not a bad direction, it's just not one I've chosen.
The pleasure for you is in keeping your hands on the wood.
I like to finish the day with a beautiful toy that I can touch and stroke and think, this is fine and it's going to last. And maybe it'll give somebody a memory.
John Link is a toy maker in Madison, Wisconsin. It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Jim Fleming. If you'd like to purchase a cassette copy of this hour, please call the radio store at 1-800-747-7444 and ask for the Made by Hand show, number 517A. We welcome your comments. Please drop us a line. The address is To the Best of Our Knowledge, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Or send us an email through our website at www.wpr.org/book.
PRI, Public Radio International.